This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride & Son Home Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, live from the McBride & Son Home Studios. Streaming live at InsideSTL.com, 590 Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM. We've had a packed show. I mean, in the first hour, we had Frank Cusimano, while fielding batting practice, giving us his live report and potentially an eye-opening issue with Marco Gonzalez. And then we had Darren Pang from the Fox Sports Midwest crew and the Blues giving us his take on what's going on with that team and how good they're playing. Then we had a little Ryan Kelly, probably the hottest take in the morning coming from him. He is going to work his way around into the third round and then plan his knockout strategy. Been watching a lot of Rocky films, wearing the sweatpants at night, you know, downing some eggs as we asked him about his diet here before the weigh-in and after the weigh-in. But now it's time to get into a whole new segment. We have a new show debuting here on 12 to 2. Monday, we have the Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne, Charlie Marlowe. We've heard Martin all over the shows this week. I thought, you know, we need to get Charlie on here and get his perspective. Charlie Marlowe, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I appreciate that. Equal time. And you mind if I ask, though, because I have to hear this. So Ryan Kelly's basically, he's doing a Ali and he's calling what round he's going to knock him out.
He is. Right? He's kind of like I asked him, you know, Freddie Roach pretty much predicts a Pacquiao knockout every single fight. So I said, Ryan, are you going in there wanting to kind of judge him on the first two rounds and then just lay down the hammer? And he said, yeah, he's going to mix it up. Kind of play like the Apollo Creed, dance around the ring and then just let it rip.
I'll tell you what. I don't know what the line is or if we're taking action. I would say that Ryan Kelly is the favorite, but I wasn't there for the fight when Timberfake beat producer Joe. But just knowing that he did beat producer Joe, I just don't think we can overlook Timberfake. I don't think we can go into it and just say he doesn't have a chance, because I think he does have a puncher's chance, even if I would put him as the underdog.
Yeah, because, you know, and you watch that fight, that opening round, that bell dinged, and he went out there and threw about 75 punches in about 3 seconds, it seemed like. I mean, he is going to bull rush Ryan Kelly. I hope Ryan knows that.
Also, I have to admit, I'm kind of unprepared. I was just walking my dog. I was listening to you.
Uh-huh.
So wait, Frank Cusimano was taking grounders, and also something happened with Marco Gonzalez. What was the story?
It seemed like, you know, it was either the wind gust or he was discussing things or he was doing some fungo batting practice. I'm not sure, but he was kind of doing something else while he was talking to us. The guy can multitask.
You know, I've been down to spring training a couple times, and it always seems like, I don't know, you know, it's where the facility is located, but if you try to do radio or TV, the wind always seems to be just absolutely whipping. So you have to have that proper microphone to really try to neutralize that.
Yeah, he said, and also with Gonzalez, he said that he missed his scheduled throw, but of course we're going to throw up the yellow flag and say it's not a big deal. It's the birthday boy, Marco Gonzalez, 25 years old today, did not throw. So that's another pitcher. Charlie, is there something going on with the water down there, you think? I mean, what's going on with these Cardinals? It's not even really officially, I mean, kicking off, we haven't had any games yet. I mean, do we need to, like, quarantine this team for the next couple weeks?
Yeah, sometimes I wonder, though. I would love to do a study on all the other teams in baseball. I'm sure that the Cardinals probably have about the average amount of injuries that other teams do. I just think because we cover and talk about the Cardinals so much, it probably seems like the Cardinals have more. But I do think in the last 5, 6, 7 years or so, it does seem like the Cardinals have had more big-time injuries, Tommy John injuries to major, major starting pitchers. When you look at Reyes this year, going back to Wainwright in, 2011? I mean, you had Carpenter. I will say this, though. I think if you're a pitcher in the major leagues and you throw hard, if you throw 95-plus, you're probably going to have Tommy John eventually. You're the outlier if you don't.
Yeah, because you would think, I mean, and of course he's complained about discomfort. All this stuff comes around, he's complained about the discomfort. He's a young kid. With him, I just fear that, you know, you're not just going to miss the 2017 season, but how much of 2018 does Alex Reyes miss really kind of getting back to be where he was at the end of last season?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to really expect from Alex Reyes to see what he can really do until probably 2019, because he's 22 years old. He's arguably the top prospect in all of baseball. Some publications have him as a top prospect. And the fact that you want to have this guy pitching for you for the next, hopefully, decade, at least as long as he's under control, you know, I would probably give him, you know, 15 months. You hear with Tommy John, sometimes it's 12 to 18 months. I see him starting, I don't want to say midway through 2018, but I don't think he's going to be pitching for the Cardinals on opening day next year. So let's say he starts throwing in June, and they're not going to want him to throw 200 innings. Maybe he gets to throw, I don't know, 140, whatever it may be. But also, we've seen with guys like Wainwright, you're not usually back to yourself until that second year post-Tommy John. So even if we see Alex Reyes relatively healthy next year in 2018, I don't think we'll see that elite stuff probably till 2019.
Yeah, so it definitely produces some kind of a competition. Now, Willie, switching gears here, you have a show starting here on Monday, man. Now, we've heard you on the morning after. We've heard you sub in for the Captain McKernan. But you got the midday grind, Monday, February 20th, noon. It's you and Martin Kilcoin, a couple Fox 2 rogues going at it here on the radio. How excited are you? And really, when did this show start coming together? When did this plan start to be created for something this exciting here in the new year?
Well, thank you. And yeah, it's 12 to 3, Monday through Friday, starts this coming Monday. I'm very excited about it. And, you know, when I first started doing any type of fill-in radio, it was actually, you know, Martin was the first one that kind of brought me on, even though I started doing a lot of morning after right after that. But it was 2008, and Martin at the time was with Mo Drummond, who also worked at Fox 2 at the time, and they had a show called The Foxhole. That was back at 1380. I feel like ever since I've been with this group, I think this is about the fourth or fifth station we've been on. I think it was 1380, 590, and then maybe 920, and back to 590, and, you know, it's been a bunch of different stations. But, yeah, so I always had fun working with Martin, and then Martin went over to the other station, 550. And I have to admit, you know, I've worked with Martin at Fox 2 for almost 9 years. And basically for the last 9 years, I've been bugging him. Just, you know, I sit to the left of him. And I've probably said once a week for 9 years, hey, when are you and I going to do a radio show? And I think I finally broke him. It took like a decade.
Well, hey, you know, all it takes is effort. I mean, I pretty much bugged Chris Denman for a whole year being down in Arkansas, living like Walter White in Breaking Bad, trying to get back. So it took about a year to bug the Wolf to give me a few spots on We Are Live and eventually give me that early morning spot. So, hey, sometimes it just takes a little bit of pestering and bugging, and eventually you get it. But what can listeners expect? I mean, you guys are so sharp when it comes to sports, but you guys can also segue into other things. Is it going to be blunt, like white-hot take commentary, or what can fans expect on Monday?
It will probably not be white-hot commentary. I do think both Martin and I love sports. We really do. Obviously, we both worked in sports. You can't have a job in sports unless you love it. But I also think we don't take sports that seriously. And I say that in a good way. Obviously, we take our job seriously and we cover the team seriously because that's what we're supposed to do. And I think that's what the fans want. But we don't think sports is life and death. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think we're going to do the first take, kind of pretend to have hot takes on stories that we really don't care about. And I also think We both like comedy and movies and pop culture. Martin's kind of a throwback to, I think, like the variety show days. So I can see him, you know, if you've ever seen him out, he'll do some outings and he'll do some roasts, and he does a lot of emceeing of trivia nights and stuff like that. So I think he kind of fancies himself even a little bit of a comic. So I think we'll have comedians on. I think we'll try to do little bits, hopefully that works. Also tie in some pop culture. For example, we have a little text going just talking about the first show and you know, the first week. I guess it's President's Day. So even though we don't want to make it political, but we're trying to tie in President's Day and maybe do presidential trivia and have people call in, why do you like certain presidents? And again, we're not trying to make it political, but maybe funny stories about why you like a certain president or audio clips and things like that.
Are you going to get in a fight over presidents? Are you going to argue fight? About... Yeah, like if Martin says I really like Nixon, are you gonna yell at him?
I will not get in a fight over anything on any radio show unless something gets really, really personal. Like I said, none of this. I love sports. I love talking on the radio, but I don't take it too serious. I don't take myself too serious. I think you guys You guys should know that by now.
Now, I was joking with Martin saying that on the first show, because you always try to get some high-quality guests for the first week or so to try to bring the audience in. I was saying, you know, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Wojo, Jay Crowder. Are you going to ask for Urban Meyer or any Ohio State-related guests, like James Laurinaitis, for that first week?
Well, I might have to, you know, even though I'm a huge Ohio State football fan because I'm from Ohio, I did go to Bradley, so maybe I should get Bradley guests like Hersey Hawkins, Jim Leff, Charlie Steiner.
Who was the coach? Bradley. Who was the coach of Bradley basketball when they beat Kansas?
That was Jim Leff.
That's who you should get because it would really tease your producer, who's a big Kansas basketball fan.
Yeah, that was the back-to-back years where I believe Kansas lost to Bucknell and Bradley in the first round in back-to-back years. No, it's funny that you mentioned Martin though with the Marquette guys, because Martin, I would say, of all the sports that he loves, Marquette basketball is number one. He went there, and I'm telling you, it's funny because if it's a Tuesday night or whatever, but Thursday night, let's say Marquette basketball is playing, he is so locked in to watching that game. And, you know, he's trying to write his scripts for the sportscast, don't get me wrong, but sometimes the second that Marquette game ends, he's either happy or sad. He's like, oh, my gosh, I have to write all my scripts for the sportscast that I'm being paid to do right now.
Of course, you know, I mean, really, in order for these shows to work, you know, you do have to kind of lean on each other a little bit and really develop chemistry. You think you guys, having worked together for 9 years, you have that kind of chemistry and you guys are ready to go?
First of all, can you hear my dog in the background?
Oh, yeah.
A ferocious dog.
He's basically a supporting character in this show right now.
I just took you off speaker because every day around this time, he goes absolutely crazy when he is a mailman or the UPS driver comes by, so hopefully he'll chill out there. So, well, chemistry. Yeah, I think, like I said, we've worked together for 9 years, sitting there in the office, you know, 4 days a week. Usually we work together kind of joking around, and I think we'll have good chemistry. We've you know, since, I guess, 2008, we haven't done a radio show together, so I do think in terms of that, you know, it'll take a little bit to kind of just work out the flow of the show, but I don't think it'll be difficult to sit there and talk together for 3 hours.
Now, I don't know if you saw the news last night, but there is going to be a Tom Brady movie and book. And, I mean, your first reaction to this, I've had the guy on there. It's from the writers that did the Boston Strong book that turned into the Patriots Day movie. So we're going to have a Tom Brady movie. I mean, is this something you're going to be seeing, Charlie, or is this something like shrug your shoulders, move on?
First of all, I push you back on speaker. Hopefully the dog shuts up now and you can hear me better. I do think, you know what? Again, going back to, I'm an Ohio State fan, so I'm supposed to not like Tom Brady because he went to Michigan. But and nobody, I think, unless you live in the Boston area or New England, we all think there's always kind of a little bit of shadiness going on with, and I'm not saying he should have been suspended for 4 games for Deflategate, but something was going on there. And the same way with Spygate, and the same way with last year or a couple years where Bill Belichick was running out the offensive linemen, and you didn't know who was eligible. There's always kind of working on the fringe of the rule book, in my opinion. That said, I've never been a Tom Brady hater. He's one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest quarterback of all time. To me, he's kind of boring, though. You know, in terms of a media person, I like people that are kind of funny and give you stuff. And to me, Tom Brady is pretty PC. I know he's gotten to some, you know, some discussion with the whole Trump thing here, but, you know, he hasn't even really commented on that. But as far as the movie, I mean, I guess I probably won't pay money to go see it in the theater, but I guess I would watch it if it was free on my TV. And you got to think, Mark Wahlberg, by the way, Mark Wahlberg plays every Boston hero, so you know it's going to be him no matter what. No matter what the movie's about, Mark Wahlberg's always going to play the hero if it's a Boston movie.
That's going to be like the shortest Tom Brady impersonator of all time. I was thinking Josh Duhamel. That's who I was thinking. He looks just like him.
That's actually a good call. And just as I think about this off the top of my head, maybe because it's topical, it's like my favorite TV show right now, even though it's on a different network that Frank Cusimano actually works for. This Is Us, which is a fantastic show.
What Milo?
Everybody. The dude, I don't even know his name, but, you know, the good-looking actor. Dude.
Yeah, I think his name is Justin Hardy, but I'm not
Justin
sure.
Hartley.
Yeah, Justin Hartley. I think he's new. Yeah, I think he'd be a good pick, too.
I think he used to. I think he used to do soap operas back in the day. And again, this is just off the top of my head. I was trying to think of like a younger, kind of good-looking dude.
Yeah.
And he came to mind. But Josh Duhamel is also a good play.
Yeah, I'd be very. I think it'd be hilarious if Wahlberg went in there and said, "Can I play this?" Like, you're too short, man. You can't even see over the line. It just doesn't work.
You know what though? I'll give Mark Wahlberg this, and I'm trying to think of sports movies. Has he done a sports movie besides the boxing one?
Yes, he played in that Philadelphia Eagles story. The name eludes me right now. It was in like about 8 to 10 years ago. He played a famous or not really a famous.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that, where he was like a scrappy little receiver.
I do think though, when he was in the boxing movie, and I can't remember the name of that either, with Christian Bale, where Christian Bale won I think Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, The Fighter.
I did think Mark Wahlberg looked like a boxer. Like, he looked like he was an athlete, and he probably had boxed before, and he looked the part. It always bothers me, especially baseball movies, because I do think baseball movies, the throwing motion of baseball, it is something that, I'm not saying you have to play baseball for 10 years to do it, but you can tell when an actor has never really thrown a baseball. That's why Charlie Sheen in Major League, he looked like he knew what he was doing, and apparently he also took steroids to try to throw harder. But if you see like Freddie Prinze Jr. in that Summer Catch movie and some other examples,
yeah,
you just can tell these dudes have never thrown a baseball.
Yeah, it looks bad. It was called Invincible. It's in 2016.
Invincible.
2006.
Yeah, I saw that.
He played a football fan who basically tried out for the Eagles and made it. Again, I mean, I believe, I mean, when he played Mickey Ward in The Fighter, yes, he looked just like him. He probably even knew and talked to the guy. So that works, but I don't know, man. Tom Brady, he could probably play one of his receivers, probably. He could probably play Danny Amendola more than he can play Tom Brady. That'd be more of a fit for Wahlberg.
But also, if you want to do this movie right now, Tom Brady doesn't say much anyway. I feel like he could play himself. Just have him go out there, do all the action shots, and then he's not going to say anything in the press conference anyway, so just let him play himself.
Why can't you do it like an Oliver Stone?
In the Ted movies, the small cameos.
Why don't you do the Tom Brady movie kind of like Oliver Stone and make it all conspiratorial and just say that they cheated the entire time? Wouldn't that be more fun?
Just don't make Luke Wilson play Roger Goodell again, because that was pretty bad in the Will Smith concussion movie.
That was a really bad cast.
It's terrible.
Roger Goodell. I understand that you don't have to necessarily look just like the dude, but I feel like with Luke Wilson that there was no correlation there. I didn't understand it from any perspective, whether it was age or looks or mannerisms. It's probably the worst cast I can think of off the top of my head. You remember when Brian Dennehy played Bobby Knight in that ESPN movie? Like,
yeah.
That was brutal.
Yeah, and really, Charlie, it threw off a great movie. You're like, no, he was in Old School. He can't play this. Alec Baldwin, who played one of the doctors, he could have played a better Roger Goodell than Luke Wilson.
And also, I think for some comedic actors, like I look at Luke Wilson as a comedic actor, and I know there's a lot of great actors that have went from comedy to drama, and in recent years, you got like Steve Carell's been really good doing that. But for whatever reason, when I watched that movie, it just I couldn't separate Luke Wilson from Old School and put him into a role where he's supposed to be serious. It just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's definitely. But hey, Charlie. So Monday, man, you got it. Midday grind, 12 to 3, 5 days a week. Are you ready for this, man? I mean, it's 5 days a week. I mean, this is serious radio, buddy. Are you ready to bring it? I mean, Martin's going to be – I mean, I'll ask this before I let you go. On every show which has like a duo, a tandem, one guy has to be like the quarterback that drives the ball. One guy is more the receiver. Which one are you? Can we give us an idea, or is that still being kind of workshopped out between you and Martin?
I think it's going to be a timeshare, but knowing the monstrous ego of Martin Tilcoin, he'll want to talk all day long. So hopefully if it's a 3-hour show, he talks 2/3 of the time. I only talk for about an hour. And then, like you said, I'm not tired out for all of my Fox 2 duties later in the day. And I am going to be filling in, even though, listen, this is way too much radio for Charlie. I get it. But a lot of the morning after people said they'd still like me to fill in from time to time. So I am going to do that. I'm a company guy. I'm a 590 guy. And I think I'm filling in actually morning after like March 2nd and 3rd on a Thursday, Friday. So I will do that every once in a while. And you know what? When I do that, I'll run point and I'll read the live reads and I'll look at the text line and we can let Doug and Kat just do their thing when Tim's out.
Definitely. Well, hey, Charlie, man, thanks for joining us, buddy. Take care of that dog. The dog kind of sounded a little ferocious in the background, but thanks for joining us here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box.
Yeah, he's the most ferocious 23-pound cockapoo. And like I said, the mailman just came in about 5 minutes. The UPS guy's going to come in and do it all over again.
All right, Charlie, have a good day, man. We'll be listening on Monday at high noon here on the 590 The Fan KFNS.
All right, Dan, thanks. Appreciate it.
That is Charlie Marlowe giving us his early perspectives, not just on his radio show, not just on the Cardinals pitching situation, but on who is going to play Tom Brady. I'm going really strong. It's not going to happen, but Josh Duhamel, I think, will make it be a great pick. But the Justin Hartley, the guy who plays Kevin on This Is Us, I watched that show. It's a network show that I actually like, and I've been roped into by my wife to watch it. But a lot of good candidates. I love Mark Wahlberg. I'm one of his fans, but I don't want to see a 5'9" guy trying to play. I don't know what Tom Brady is. He has to at least be 6'2". He has to be a pretty tall guy. That would be kind of a stretch and could hurt the film. As long as it's not Mark Wahlberg and it's not Luke Wilson playing Roger Goodell, I think we'll be fine.
Was it you mentioned those old ESPN made for TV movies where they went through that weird phase where they produced a number of those?
They tried before 30 for 30, I guess, before they started doing those.
Was it Tom Sizemore who played Pete Rose?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go through them.
And John Turturro played Billy Martin in one of those movies.
Yes.
And the Reggie Jackson was part of that movie. Oh, man. I don't know, man.
And there was Tom Berenger, I think, played Paul Bear Bryant.
He did.
In one of those.
I mean, they were good, but they were kind of like almost they never felt right. Never felt authentic.
Yeah. It was almost like they
were trying too hard.
I don't think it was trying too hard. It's just that they were a little short on the budget, I feel like. That if they had invested a little bit more in them. Like, I feel like ESPN invests a lot of money in 30 for 30, and you can see that in the quality of the work that is done.
Yes, definitely.
I feel like that wasn't done for the season on the brink made-for-TV movie with a fat Brian Dennehy playing Bobby Knight, who was not fat then.
It almost seems like there was some kind of like problem with the casting director.
Right.
But I think we'll take a quick break, you think?
We will. I do have to say, though, we have our weekly high school athlete of the week here on 590 The Fan, which is brought to you by Baker Exteriors. And each week on InsideOfSale.com, you can vote. However, we do have a winner this week.
Oh, yes. Who won? Okay.
Our winner is Cade Jones of Brentwood High School. Cade Jones.
That's where I went to high school.
All right. There you go. So, fellow Brentwood student, 66 points, 33 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 steals in 3 games, and also he wins a trophy from All-Star Trophy Quality Awards.
Man.
Since 1971. And also, it's 11:26. If you're a little hungry, you should go to Lion's Choice.
Oh, yeah.
The famous roast beef sandwiches are more than 25 locations throughout the St. Louis metro area. They also have good turkey sandwiches and gluten-free buns now as well.
They've enhanced their menu a little bit.
A little healthier.
They're trying to bring it.
They do. It's very good food.
It is very good food. As Frank Guzman will say, it is terrific, and you should try it. There's one right next to my wife's work. I always go by there and go, okay, let's go.
I feel foolish doing the Lion's Choice live reads because I can't possibly do them justice the same way Frank does.
No, nobody can do it. It's almost like trying to do like a 24/7, trying to be a little Liev Schreiber and do that.
Right.
As I try to be on the fan page, but I fail without having the voice. But I think we'll take a quick little break. When we come back, we'll be visited by Rob Raines of St. Louis Sports Page. Talk about those Cardinals down in spring training and what is ahead for them as they keep facing these issues with the pitchers every day. Here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box, Dan Buffett in for Frank Cusimano from the McBride & Sunholme Studios, broadcasting live, streaming live on InsideSDL.com.